You're about to enter the world of Michael Zavala.
Okay, yes.
Now's your chance to turn back.
Hello.
You're listening to MZ. Michael Zavala.
MZ.
This is MZ Now.
MZ.
Feels weird after being in studio to come back and do it from the house, do the show from the house.
Yeah, I forgot.
Yeah, Spider has been at home for the past 2 weeks. But it feels weird just because it's so much, even though I talked about how much I love doing it from the house, there are probably more benefits to do it at the studio. And like, we don't have to like tape stuff up and put two strings together with two cans to, you know, talk to everybody. It's like, that's what we had to do. It feels like we're just like rigging everything up from doing it from the house, where as a studio, everything's there. You just push a couple buttons and it's all done for you. It's great. But maybe we'll be back in soon enough. We'll have to figure that out. But did anybody get that new Apple iOS? Oh, iOS 14?
Yeah. I'm a big fan.
What do you like about it? What's your top, let's say, three?
How customizable it is. So like, yeah, all the widgets and stuff. That's the big thing for me.
Well, yeah. You have two more? I was like,
no.
That's it. That's all I got.
That's too much work.
Oh, my top one is where the phone calls that are coming, the new phone calls,
yes,
your whole screen.
Yeah.
So if you're like looking at your like text messages, or you're texting somebody.
Or you're filming a video for OnlyFans, it's not going to be interrupted.
Like, mm-hmm. It doesn't get interrupted.
The I didn't even know that was on there. I get my phone calls.
Oh, well, there you go.
I've trained people to text me.
Yeah, the second one would be the widgets. And then you can mention in text messaging now.
Yeah.
So somebody else that has iMessage, you can actually, like, if you're in a group or something, you can actually say at so-and-so. Yeah.
So my top three would be, I like the picture in picture. Mm-hmm. So in other words, you can watch Netflix and then go and scroll through your email, or all in the same window. iPads
had
that for
an iPad. Yeah. For a while.
But now it's on everything. I like watching, you know, if I'm watching YouTube, I'd like to be checking my email or writing notes on something or whatever the case may be. So I was really excited because in order, you could do that now, or previously you could do that, but you had to pay for YouTube Red. Mm-hmm. And who in their right mind would pay for YouTube Red? You can't wait 5 seconds for the ad to go, you know, before shelling out money. So
that'll change soon enough, though, man. Because YouTube, if it's going to cost YouTube money, they're going to
fix it. Oh, they've already fixed it. Yeah. Okay. So before, you couldn't do it from the app, but the workaround was, you go to the website through the Safari browser, mm-hmm, full screen it, and then you could do a picture in picture. And now they've blocked that. So now I want to boycott YouTube. F YouTube. You won't let me watch my little, I don't even know what I'm watching. Just like little interview shows or whatever I'm watching. I don't really watch that much YouTube.
Yeah,
I think,
but you're not even gonna let me watch that as picture in picture. I mean, come on. How much money do you need?
The most annoying thing about YouTube is like, you'll be reading a Yahoo article that has embedded YouTube videos.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, cool, I'll watch this 7-minute video. And like, whenever I get to a video on my iPad, I enlarge it so it's full screen.
Yeah.
And they disabled that ability, like, for the videos. And it's like, you'll be,
you can't watch
like
in full screen.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, you'll be watching like a sports highlight, and the, you know, the video is like 1/8 of my screen. And I'm like sitting here trying to watch like some dude, like, you know, slam dunk or shoot a 3-pointer. And you know, it's just so small. It's like, I'm not getting what I'm supposed to be getting out of this clip by looking at it.
A little bitty like screen.
Right.
Might as well just watch it on your Apple Watch. So, number one, the picture in picture. Love that. That was the thing that I was looking forward to. With number two being the calls don't take up your whole screen. Mm-hmm. And then three, the widgets aren't that big of a deal for me, because I don't like, I feel like it clunks up the screen and stuff. Like, when I see people's Android phones, they're all like full, mm-hmm, of widgets and stuff's all over the place. I got 15 different screens. It just seems too much. And so that's what I figured this was going to be. But it's not. They did it really well, and it looks really nice.
That's weird, though. The other people's cluttered screen bothers you.
Yeah.
That's like, your computer screen is such a mess.
No, but I mean, I've got everything organized. Even I'm Apple sure will organize too.
You know what I mean?
But their stuff is like, oh, you want to make a phone call? And their phone call app is like three screens over.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, I'm like, don't even hand me your phone. I don't know where stuff's at. Just open up what I'm asking you to open up or whatever. But I hate when somebody hands me their phone to do something. And I'm like, where's your browser? Oh, just swipe over five screens. And it's just, and there's all these widgets you're passing and ads. It's like MySpace all over again. Yeah. It's too much customization. We know what happens when you give people too much customization, and it became MySpace. And look what happened to that. So that's what I was fearing that this was going to become, but it didn't. It's very nice. But the other thing I like about it is like the app library. So there's a lot of apps that I don't really need to have on my home screens or anything. So I just make them invisible essentially and throw them in my app library. And when I do need them once or twice a year, I can just search for them, pull them up, and I'm ready to go. So I really like that. So now I went from four screens down to two. And it's actually really one and a half. I have my main screen with a widget, and then I have another widget on the other screen. It's like Reddit, like the top articles in Reddit. And then just a few basic, like all my TV show apps and all that kind of stuff. You know, just whatever I would normally watch, like if I'm on a plane or something. So I really like that. And then Eric and I were talking about, so they also, when they announced iOS 14 or the release date, they also announced the new Apple Watches, Apple Watch 6 or whatever. Uh-huh, so yeah. I still have the original one. And
me too. Shout out to Clark.
Yeah, I was going to get to that because Clark had the original. Then last year, was it that you bought a new Apple Watch?
Yeah.
Or 2 years ago. That's the one with the EKG or whatever, the heart thing on it, right? And so I kind of liked, I was thinking at that time, maybe I should upgrade and get this watch because it's got the EKG. And, you know, I drink a lot of Red Bull. I'd like to know how my heart's functioning or if the watch is going to be like, hey, you know, you got 3 days to live. And this new watch does all of that. Plus, it checks your blood oxygen level.
Yeah, that's weird too. Did you see how that works?
Yeah.
It's like some kind of infrared camera on it that can see through your skin, and it looks at the color of your blood and can tell by that what your oxygen level is.
Isn't that crazy? So Eric's like, Eric told me the other day, he's like, I'm going to get this watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I thought about doing it, but I don't really, this is even more health information than I, like, there's a reason why I don't go to yearly physicals. I don't want to know if I'm dying. If I'm getting to the point where I can't get out of bed or something, I'll go to the doctor at that point, but I don't want them to tell me like,
you already know, right? You already know you don't want them to tell you.
Right. So why am I going to have my watch tell me every day that I'm dying? Like that's, you know, that's just having a doctor on your wrist and just say, hey, should you really have that cheeseburger? You remember your numbers yesterday? So I'm like, I don't really want this. It's going to stress me out more. I've already got a lot of things I got to think about. I don't want to have a watch telling me I'm close to death at every moment. But then the other day I was starting to think about it and I'm like, maybe it is time for an upgrade. Maybe I should get this watch. So I bought the watch. It hadn't come in yet. But, and then I said, well, maybe I can get trade in for my, my old Apple Watch. They're like, no, we'll recycle it for you though. Like, no, I could sell it on eBay for $30, you know.
Hey, this still worked fine.
Yeah.
I've been using this one for a year or whenever Clark
and you love it. One. And yeah, Spider was totally anti-watch beforehand. And I'm like, I'm like, try the Apple Watch and you're going to love it. And next thing you know, he loves it. It really is a great thing.
I will watch tan line.
Did you get the satellite for your watch?
No.
Like the...
The cell tower connectivity or whatever?
Right,
it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I didn't do that. I don't want to pay an extra thing a month. Oh, the other reason why I actually went ahead and got the Apple Watch is because if you get it through the Apple Card, and again, Apple's not paying us to talk about any of this. This is just, we all like the same stuff. We're all, you know, we all have Apple products. So I figured we'd talk about it. But if you use the Apple Card,
as he's waving the Apple pencil,
is that in screen?
Talked about
is this in screen? I didn't know if it was in screen or not. I was doing. You're watching MZ now. Dun dun dun. They make it so easy. Like it literally is going to be a dangerous thing for me because I went onto the Apple little app, and they said if you buy with the Apple Card, it's only $12.97 a month for the next, you know, 24 months, 0% interest. So I'm like, $12 for a brand new Apple Watch? Sign me up. So next thing you know, I'm going to have like a new iMac. I'm going to have a new app. I'm going to be like, I only pay $350 a month for all these products.
What size of watch did you get?
Same one I had before. It's the smallest one.
Okay.
with the sports, the black sports band.
You didn't get the ridiculous band.
No. Then they had like a solo loop band, I think is what it's called.
Yeah,
I guess
that's
based
the
off
one.
Of,
it's yeah. like $100 though.
And I looked at it. Well, in this package, it wasn't going to raise my price up very much. So my problem is there's no real adjustment. It's just stretchy, right? So I'm like, well, what if I want... Sometimes I have to wear the watch looser. Sometimes I like to wear it tighter. Just depends on my mood. I want to be able to adjust it for whatever situation. I can't do that with a single band thing. Mm-hmm. So anyway, did you get it? Did you buy yours?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought one. Yeah, it's on the wall. I don't know. It hasn't shipped yet, but it's going to ship.
What's your delivery date?
So I think it's like the 5th through the 12th or something like that.
Oh, man. When'd you buy it?
I bought it like 2 days ago. I wasn't sure if it was going to be here, if I was going to be home to receive the package. So,
did you guys move yet?
No.
All those boxes and stuff that you had in your house when you showed us that camera a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
Where you have your half your house is boxed up?
Yeah.
That was all for nothing? You're living with all those boxes?
No, I know. I'm moving. I'm starting to pack slowly right now. Huh?
You have a place?
Yeah, we signed the lease this past week, and so yeah, it's because I wasn't sure when.
And it's still in the HEB area where Clark's living. Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, we were in the past 2 weeks. We were going out there and looking at apartments and all that. So,
oh, that's cool.
So none of us are actually going to live in Dallas anymore,
right?
That's good.
I'm trying to make my way back.
So last week, Ronald Bell, who was the co-founder of Kool & the Gang, passed away. He and his brother, Robert, started Kool & the Gang. And you might know them by a couple songs they've done, you know, Celebration. What else did they do?
They did a song called Joanna, I
yeah.
think.
And this, by the way, this is all from Clark's memory. He's not looking it up.
Ladies Night.
Ladies Night.
They did Ladies Night. They did...
Get Down on It.
Did they?
Yeah.
I was like, okay. They did a song called "You Wouldn't." It's actually an instrumental song, and you've possibly heard it sampled in a lot of other songs. Just this kind of like the siren that they play in it.
Yeah.
But it's called like "Summertime Madness."
Yeah.
It was on the Vice City soundtrack, the video game
GTA.
Yeah. Yeah, they've done a lot actually.
The just only reason why I'm bringing up, yeah, if you've lived in America or the world for any period of time, you have heard one of their songs at least. If not their original song, you've heard it sampled at least in some song.
Right.
The only reason why I'm bringing it up is because about a month or two ago, I actually did an interview with Ronald and Robert, and we kind of sat on it because the way the interview, like I'm pretty sure one of the guys was on speakerphone and there was like another phone like up to the, it was just very awkward and weird as far as the setup goes, because one guy was calling in from one place and the other guy was calling in from another place, and we were going through, you know, multiple publicists, and so trying to connect all that on their end to get to us was kind of a disaster, and there was like this delay and I couldn't barely hear one person. It was just kind of a mess. So I was sitting on it debating on when or if we should play it. But because Ronald passed away last week of unknown causes, they haven't. He was like 68. I decided this would be a good time to bring it back out. So we're going to take a break. We're coming back with the interview with Kool & the Gang. And then we'll get some more show.
This is MZ Now. Online at mznow.tv. You have a collect call from
Joe Exotic. Guess what, mother? It's Joe Exotic auditioning for Big Tex. Howdy, folks. This is Big Mother Tex. Welcome to the State Fair of Texas. Hola, amigos. Bienvenidos al State Fair of Texas. As long as there's no Carol Baskin here, it's a good day on my watch. Howdy, sir. I've got $5 and two tigers to say you might be gayer than a $3 bill. This is Joe Exotic. I'll do send for the one and only Big Tech.
Hey, what's up, Doc? This is Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck, and you're listening to Michael Zavala. Woohoo, woohoo, woohoo!
This is Marina Sirtis, and you're listening to Michael Zavala.
This is MZ Now.
I'm in the presence of greatness right now. 50 years of hits. Who has more hits than you guys? Hit after hit after hit. How does the writing process work? Do you guys write the music and then the lyrics, or do you go the other way around? How does that work?
Well, it all depends. Sometimes it's just the music.
Yeah.
And then, because we started as musicians, and then sometimes it comes from, you know, an idea or a title, like Ladies Night or a Celebration. It starts with a concept. You know, it depends. Inspiration is everywhere.
Are you guys to the point where you can, you know, lock yourself in a studio for a weekend and then produce a whole album? Like, you know, a song like Get Down On It. How long does that take from conception to final product? What's the turnaround on something like that?
Well, how long did that one take?
Yeah.
Well, it didn't take that long. It took a rehearsal one day, and then the process started from there. And I think to complete it took like maybe 5 days.
Wow, that's incredible.
Do everything, because we don't do that anymore like that.
Right.
We're not, you know, I'm saying, but we wrote the songs when we're on the road. You know, we come off the road, right in the studio, out of the studio, back on the road.
That's incredible. It's amazing to somebody like me who's not talented whatsoever. You know, I sit down in a room for 6 months to write, you know, a couple of lines of a song that I never complete because I'm, you know, I just can't do it. To write a song, a hit in 5 days, to me is incredible.
That's true.
So, 9 number one hits, 25 top hit singles. You've been there, you've done that, you've seen it all. What's your thoughts on the current state of music today?
Well, right now everybody's on lockdown right now.
Right.
You know, you know, I think like it might be the Corona blues. lockdown in O-Town. That's what I'm
talking about. There's a new song.
He's out there at St. Thomas. He's in the Caribbean.
But
he's constantly writing, though. He says he calls every day. New songs, new concepts, new ideas, working on new products, and et cetera.
Is there an artist today that you guys look at and you're like, wow, this group is really great? Is there somebody that you admire at this point or, I don't know, get inspired by, a current artist?
Yeah, I would say John Legend.
Oh, yeah.
For me. Well, and Kendrick Lamar.
And that brings up another thing. I read somewhere that you guys are probably the most sampled artist of all time. And that's got to be the greatest compliment, right? Like, a young rapper can recognize the greatness in your music and say, hey, I've got to implement this in my art somehow. That's got to be the highest honor.
Yeah, but they say that. And then, but James, the late James Brown said, we're the number two most sampled, man. He's number one.
That's true.
The Godfather's number one. He said.
Well, he said he's the most sampled artist, and we're the most sampled band.
Primarily,
I think it's because of the instrumental music, you know, wasn't a lot of vocal in the way, so they could grab those samples.
Right, right.
In the early time when they were grabbing those samples off of those records.
When you hear the sampled music, though, do you hear like, wow, this is a big honor. Like, somebody chose us out of all the other, you know, artists out there to use our music in their song because they just had to have a part of what we did in their music.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It really is. They were listening to those earlier records, and guess they, you know,
got inspired from it.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah. I saw you guys got into animation. You have a kind of a hybrid animated documentary coming out. What's the story behind that?
Well, that animated series, it started with a documentary, and we started to evolve it into, what, you know, a doc, but we didn't want to do the regular documentary format. So we mixed it up, and the story is from before we were actually a band named Cool Again, because the Cool was cool before he was cool.
Right.
So, he was actually cool, and they had a social club, you know, so to speak. It was a cool in the gang.
Yeah.
Cool in the gang. There was a gang of them guys. And cool. And cool was the leader of a bunch of guys.
Everybody. Yeah, back in the
neighborhood.
Back in the day, yeah. It was, it became a cool gang. The gang was a little rough around the edges. We had some fine children to do, but we cool in the gang.
So that they wouldn't, you know, beat up on the guys who weren't bullies.
That's right.
Bullies became bullies.
Now, I'm also super excited. You guys are doing a live concert on Sirius XM because the band is 50 years old now. Does that have a date yet?
Oh, Sirius? I think they aired that. That's on...
So you can hear it. You can probably go back in the archives and hear it now. So Sirius XM live concert you guys have done, that's been aired, and you can listen to it probably on SiriusXM.com.
And our the first episode of our vignettes are on YouTube.
Okay. And what's the YouTube address for that?
Well, CoolTheGang.com.
Uh-huh.
And Cool TV. The Cool The Gang Show on YouTube.
Perfect.
The Cool The Gang Show on YouTube.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your music with us for half a century. I mean, you guys made a huge impact, and it's been an honor to talk to you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So the other thing I tried to order this week was the PlayStation 5 pre-order. They were supposed to go live, I guess it was Friday, and then all the retailers opened them up early, like a day before, and didn't tell anyone, just kind of sent out newsletters. So I got like a Best Buy newsletter saying, hey, the PlayStation 5 is up for pre-order. But by the time I got it, clicked on it, the site was already crashing. I got it into my cart. This was like a 2.5 hour thing. I got it into my cart, and for the next hour and a half, just trying to click checkout, it wouldn't work. And then sometimes it would reset. Sometimes remove the PlayStation out of my cart. Then it would put it back. I don't know. It was a whole thing. And so I'm getting very frustrated because all I want is a PlayStation 5. That's it. I've prided myself on getting all, you know, maybe since the PlayStation 3, I've always, you know, had it as soon as they came out. Do I need it? Is it going to have any games that I really want? No, absolutely not. I could wait a year. It's just a pride thing. I like to have the PlayStation 5. It's out. I want to have it. What's the crime in that? So I've made this promise. If Sony doesn't make one available to me before the release date, I'm voting for Trump.
Oh, God.
Ooh. I'm sure.
Well, first I got to register to vote.
Well, I'm sure that's either going to tilt the ability to sell the PlayStation or the election. But either way, you heard it here first on MZ Now.
Yeah. If I don't get a PlayStation, when's the election? November 5th?
Something like November 2nd, 1st, Tuesday. November.
And I'm not saying I have to have the PlayStation in hand. I just need to have a confirmed pre-order. I'm willing to give you the money for the PlayStation. I just need to have one out of all the thousands that you have made. I need one in my name that comes to me, you know, end of November, whenever they're supposed to be released. Oh, and if I don't have that by November 5th, whenever the election is, I'm voting for Trump. Maybe. Is it too late to vote?
One of the guys that came into the studio on Saturday had got on eBay looking for him, and they were already a grand.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's because people don't understand when you do something like this. It's, well, I mean, they understand, but they don't do anything to avoid it. It's all scalpers that are buying these PlayStations. They're all trying to make a buck. They're trying to double their money. So, you know, I don't know, maybe put a questionnaire out there of like test people's knowledge of the PlayStation before you can buy it so you can avoid the scalpers and the bots.
Like, are you a scalper?
Right. Are you okay with us checking in with you in the next 3 months to make sure that you're actually keeping the PlayStation and not reselling it on eBay? It's like CPS or whatever, you know, like they would come to the house.
Having to register your PS somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
With the company.
You got to register. It needs to be used in this, with this IP address, in this location. It might be a pain to buy them, but at least we know true fans are getting them.
They're so tired
of scalpers.
They don't care who buys them as long as they're bought.
What if they
right.
did?
Yeah.
What if they did a virtual line like the KFC shoes?
Oh, that then I would.
Well, because like
I would vote for Trump and Ted Cruz.
So PlayStation, honestly, PlayStation doesn't really care at this moment because they're gonna make more that are gonna get sold to the public.
Right.
And to be quite honest with you, PlayStation actually, or I don't know how it is with the new system, but the way these video game machines really work is that
the video game I've machines,
heard, these consoles, I did just sound like my grandfather.
Yeah.
But the way these things work is, like, I've heard that actually until a consumer with a video game system buys like two games or three games, like, PlayStation really doesn't make its money back.
Right.
The money, I read some report that they're actually going to be losing money. I don't know how true this is, but they're going to lose money selling these PlayStations at the price point that they could. And there were talks about they were going to sell them at like a $700 price point or whatever, but they kept it to the normal $499 or whatever because that's what, you know, especially right now during this Corona season, no one's got, you know, people have lost their job or whatever, and they're not making the money they normally make. So who's going to buy it if you can't keep it at a reasonable price point?
Right, exactly. And if nobody's buying it, then if they're not buying your system, then we know that they're not buying your games.
Now, the Xbox, the new one that comes out, mm-hmm. I'm totally cool with waiting because, first off, the only reason why I play Xbox to begin with is because of Halo, and the new Halo game doesn't come out until, what, a year from now? Something like that. It's not coming out at launch, so I don't really need it. And I'm going to buy the cheap one. I mean, I've probably played my Xbox since I've had it, and I've had it since it came out, probably 20 times. That's it. The rest of the time, it says you're collecting dust.
Yeah, there's a lot of, hey, get this game, we'll play. And then you play one time and never again.
Yeah, and they're like, did you like the game? Yeah, I love the game. And then I'll just never jump on. It's just so much hassle because also it's not in like a direct input on the TV. I have to buy an adapter because I ran out of HDMI ports.
Jesus.
So I had to buy an adapter to plug it into another. So you have to switch to that source. Then you have to get another remote to switch to the source for the Xbox. And then I got to find, then the Xbox, unlike the PlayStation, you can't just, it's not rechargeable. So you got to find batteries, doesn't work. It's a whole thing. It's a lot of work. It's like, it's the same amount of work as setting up the VR for the PlayStation. That's why I don't play the VR because you got to undo the cable. It's like setting up an old Nintendo system, you know, when you took it out, your friends came over.
Maybe your TV that day.
Well, that's why I got this TV
and then get like, you know, upgraded. You know,
I literally got this TV because it had so many HDMI ports. And then I started, well, I mean, you got to understand, I got like, I have an Xbox to it. I have a PlayStation 3. I've got, you know, a Roku, an Apple TV.
Why do you have a Roku if you have an Apple TV?
Well, the Apple TV I got later on. Oh. And I need them both, honestly, because a Roku doesn't have HBO Max. So in order to watch HBO Max, I have to use the Apple TV, which I don't like the Apple TV. I'll be honest with you. If everything was just on Roku, I would just rather watch Roku. The interface of the Apple TV is all over the place.
Okay, well, if you plug in your Xbox, you can download the apps on your Xbox for HBO Max, CBS, All Access.
But then I got the whole process of starting to find the Xbox. What input is it in? It takes 10 minutes to just find the input.
Unplug the Roku. That's what I'm saying. You don't need the Roku anymore.
Oh, but then I've got my original Nintendo Mini and the Sega Mini and the PlayStation Mini.
We need more
TVs. I have
TVs.
So many things out there. Like, I probably consume in my town, I probably consume most of the power in this town just with my electronics.
I just want to take this conversation and have Mike go and discuss his plight with like a homeless person who's like starving. I just got all these inputs.
I just don't have HDMI.
You mean women?
But this is why I save so much money, because I don't go out anywhere. I have all this electronics right here. The homeless man can learn from me. Get yourself a nice little TV with some gaming systems and video watching systems, and you don't have to. You won't be homeless anymore because that's all you
run an extension cord to the Jack in the Box, and you're good.
Yeah. You're good. Yeah. Or the Williams Chicken.
To the man that may or may not be dying of gangrene because he's got holes in his shoes.
You know what? I will say this: the homeless people around our studio, I've been up there recently. They're always wearing the mask, and I'm like, you know what? They're more safe than the Karens of Highland Park.
They are.
You know what I mean? So Karens, if the homeless guy can do it, he's got. Wearing the same clothes for 7 days, but always has a fresh new mask on his face.
Yeah,
you can wear a mask too.
Which I don't know how they're getting those. Like they're Starbucks. Wearing masks before we were.
I guarantee. Well, also I'm sure that there's some Dallas County Health initiative where they go around. And
also, if they don't wear a mask, they're probably going to get ticketed.
But no, so it's probably that Starbucks right there is kind of a halfway homeless shelter during the day. Mm-hmm. Like, they let a lot of people come in there, and I guarantee that's where they get half those masks.
Yeah. No, because
there's
whenever,
not that many anymore, though. Not that many homeless people.
Whenever there was, like, a shortage of masks, like, around the world, homeless people had masks, new masks. And I'm like, how are they getting these masks, and people that actually have money cannot get them?
Right. Looking all over the place.
Yeah.
But they would have designer masks, Gucci. They have the nicest masks. I've seen nicer masks on homeless people than regular people at restaurants and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the new Gucci mask?
No.
It doubles as a hat. I think it was...
What?
It was either $4 or $591. I can't remember which one it was, but it's a mask that doubles as a hat. And
when the pandemic is over.
Louis Vuitton. That's what it was.
Oh, Louis Vuitton?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when the pandemic is over, you have a nice little fashionable
mask hat,
trinket, or souvenir.
If you're out at a restaurant and have to eat for a little while, you got a hat for a while instead of a mask.
I think everyone should just wear masks from now on and stay 6 feet apart. I like it. I 100% like it.
I definitely won't be going to bars anymore if that's the case.
Why? You want to see people's faces?
No, this just wasn't fun, man. The time that we went, I was like, this just isn't fun, man. This is not what a bar is for. Sitting far apart and not socializing.
I'll go to the one I went to.
Yeah, go where the gays are.
It was not a gay bar.
Oh, it was a straight place. Yes. Where'd you go to that place in Deep Elm, Bottle Blonde? I heard they have it's like a club every night.
I will pass. They wouldn't
let you in. Didn't you hear? It's a pizzeria.
Oh, it's a pizzeria now. That's right. I forgot. Yeah. That's how they're able to stay open. Anyway, I started watching, going back to HBO Max. I wanted to talk about that because we were giving praise to HBO Max last week because of all the amazing program. I did watch, so for a long time now, everyone's been telling me to watch Watchmen. And I've heard multiple people talk about how great it is and all this stuff. So I watched the very first episode of Watchmen a couple weeks ago. And I thought to myself, this is probably the best first episode of any TV show I've ever seen in my life. Like, it sets it up. So I don't know anything about Watchmen. I didn't watch the movie because, first off, Zack Snyder made it. And I don't like Zack Snyder. And two, I heard there's Blue Dong in there. And I didn't really see Blue Dong.
Yeah, that was his first question when I was like, you need to watch Watchmen. Is there any blue dick in it? Yes.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'm not about that life. No offense, Eric.
It was funny. At least one of the times was pretty funny in this.
And the show, they do it well. I'm sure Zack Snyder probably zoomed in on it, did like a 3D, like a Matrix turnaround on it in his movie. Oh, that's the other thing. I'll also be voting for Trump if y'all let Zack Snyder keep making more movies. So
well, this was
you figure out what you want to do.
The dude from Lost that I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Damien Lindelof.
Yeah, that's right.
And so there's a lot of Lost-ish feel to it as far as how they tell the story. Now, I don't like this Damien guy or Damon or whatever, only because, well, there's a whole, I won't go through the whole thing. I'll take up a whole hour of why I don't like Damon, but I can definitely tell some of this, the Lost storytelling was in this. But I watched the first episode. I thought it was fantastic. I was hooked. And then by the third episode, I was like, I felt like we were just treading water because I couldn't figure out, like, I didn't remember what happened. I was binging it. I couldn't remember what happened like in the first episode because it deep dives into everyone's backstory, like every episode. And it kind of pushed the story a little bit along. And I was complaining to Eric about it because Eric also was telling me it was a really good show. And I'm like, but I don't understand. Where's this going? Because it all ties up at the end. And it does. They do a very nice job. He learned from his Lost days to tie up everything nicely in a nice little bow. But the payoff I felt at the end wasn't, for all this stuff that I went through, I didn't feel the payoff was that great. So did I like it? Yes, but I felt like it could have been better. Like, I feel like it was going in one direction and it could have been really good. Mm-hmm. And then they just kind of took it in another direction. And it just kind of, it was like a firework that when you read, you're expecting this big explosion and it just kind of gives you like a little bit and you're like, oh, that's it. That's what I felt at the end. But other than that, I liked it. But I'm also going to blame the failures of Watchmen on Damon because I don't like him. He screwed up the second Star Trek movie and I didn't like that either. And I'll never forgive him for that. And if he makes a second season of this show, I'm voting for Trump.
No,
there's no second season. I think if there is, he won't be doing it.
And the end, you know, when she ate his eggs, you know, it was the whole thing. Does she have his powers? And then she tried to step in the water. I knew it was going to go to black. I absolutely knew it was going to go to black. It just was set up that way. It was just like the music. Like then, and first off, who steps in the water that slow in a pool? It took her 5 minutes to get that foot down onto the water. And as soon as it finally touched the water, it goes to black.
I just don't even remember because that was a while back when I was watching that show.
Yeah, you told me about it a year ago. You were telling me about it when you were watching it while it was on TV.
The cinematography was amazing, though. I specifically remember them showing the dude being hanged from first person, and that was a trip, man.
Yeah, it felt like a video game. Like, you know who does really well at that? It's like Call of Duty does really well at first person experience, and it felt like that when I was watching it. So the cinematographer is fantastic. Story overall, again, I'm going to blame that all on Damon. I don't think he deserves the credit he gets. I'm going to give that all to JJ and Carlton Cruise and all those guys. Still good. It's still a good watch. It just felt like it lagged in the middle, and it took forever to get to the payoff, and the payoff was just like, oh, that's it. Like most girls say to me, oh, or my doctor, huh. That's how I felt at the end. Huh.
So that was a TV show. Huh.
Yeah. So this is what everyone was talking about. But now I'm watching that the Raised by Wolves, and Clark just started it too. Did you watch it, Spider?
No.
It's I don't know if you would like. I don't know if you would like it, to be honest with you. I don't even know if Clark's gonna like it.
I'm giving the first episode a chance. Or, well, I've got to go basically back and watch the last 20 minutes of the first episode. I'm giving this one a chance just because it kind of seems like something that would be up my alley. Because, you know, I'm not really, really big in the sci-fi.
Right.
Like the kind of sci-fi outside of Star Wars, and that's even kind of debatable. But like these kind of like just insanely huge universes where you know, where you're kind of inventing characters and the science and the universe itself as you kind of go along. Whereas I just like, I like more of a, hey, let's just take a certain technology or a certain setting, and let's just put two human beings, or, well, I don't even know if these are human beings, but let's just put two.
They're not. I discussed that in the very beginning of the episode.
Yeah, let's just take these two beings, androids, so to say, androids, and we'll just throw them in a new kind of like environment.
Maybe you should watch the whole thing.
Yeah, watch the whole thing.
Right. Yeah, because I think they explain what's going on like in the first like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe watch the first 20 minutes.
No, but what I'm trying to say is like where I would like something like this is where the universe is not so expansive to where it's like, okay, well, wait a minute. What do I got to go and read about this guy? You know, it's just kind of explaining it along. And
it's not expansive. It's based around one world.
That's what I think. I feel like it's not expansive enough.
Yeah,
like I feel like everything's happening in this one place, and I'm like, wait, what? I want them to expand more, and they do a little bit of flashback, at least where I'm at. They do a little bit of flashback, but I don't get enough, and I don't like this stuff where you just kind of give me little breadcrumbs to keep. I feel like if you're a showrunner or whatever, a producer, and you're just breadcrumbing your story throughout the whole season, that tells me you don't have enough story. The only show that really did that well was Lost, because there was a lot to go off of.
I don't know. I think Breaking Bad did a great job with the kind of breadcrumbing of the plot.
Yeah, and I wasn't a big Breaking Bad fan, but I understand and appreciate it.
Right.
But and certain shows do that well. When you breadcrumb a show like that, it just tells me that you don't really have the whole thing figured out. And we're gonna tease this. Is he really the daughter, or is she really, you know, whatever?
Yeah, Walking Dead was terrible with that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
well, you know, you do have shows that are very, very plot driven. You have shows that are very, very character driven. And then you have shows that are kind of driven in the fact that, like, we're going to just basically make a really good television show from the standpoint of it's got great effects, visually stunning, and the sound is great.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, like, you kind of compromise one of those three things to make a great show that will hook people in.
Like, I don't even care if it looks great. You can just, if you have a good story, I'm in. The 1966 Star Trek didn't have any great effects or anything, and they were cardboard cutouts.
But it did at the time. For a television show at the time, it was.
But the story is what grabs you. It's a good story. True. It was written by writers who didn't have to depend on a big budget effects and stuff. True. So anyway, so Eric's been working on this game.
Oh, I don't have
for a week now. Huh?
I don't have a game. I told you that.
I thought you were going to have the game.
I don't have it.
I thought you were just going to. Eric was talking to us in our meeting about this game that he played in his acting class, and it was going to be so great.
Not acting class, acting friends.
Oh, and he's like, friends that are acting like his friends. And he said, oh, I'm going to do an abridged version of this game for the show. Mm. Make sure you pencil it out for the schedule. And so here's the time that we would normally do that.
So let's pause for that.
So what was the game?
I can do it.
Just give us an example of it, because it did sound interesting, but I don't.
Okay, I'll give you the example of it being. I'll tell you about the game, and then if we can do, we can still do it.
Just ad lib it.
Yeah. So basically, what the game is.
We only have like 5 minutes left, so we don't have much time at all.
Oh well,
so
then should we even do it then?
Yeah. Just why not?
So
what else are we gonna do? We'll play the whole game next time.
Okay, well, so basically you have...
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, so basically everybody would get 3 to 5 cards of like a sentence or like a saying. Kind of like, I went to an ice cream shop and had chocolate ice cream. You know, just different sayings like that. But the person that was the... that drew the card, like the main card, on that main card, it would be you have to say your card in a specific way, like a nerd or like a science
teacher.
Now,
are you making that up or is that on the card?
No, it's on the card.
The card
you would draw the card and it's actually on the card. So everybody else...
like, if you're making it up, I don't want to play because it sounds like Dungeons and Dragons.
No, I'm not making it up at all. So if I were trying to draw that card, like say a nerd, so I wouldn't say it, but you know, you, Clark, and Spider would read the sentence as a nerd, whatever you think a nerd would sound like.
Okay, yeah.
So I mean, we could still do it, and I can just make up something, and maybe we...
And this is a real game. Like they didn't just make this. Is not like an acting class game. No. It is good. I feel like it's good for acting and improv.
Yeah, no, it's called Utter Nonsense. So
we should get that and just
like a Cards Against Humanity type game.
Yeah. And so whoever does the funniest, then would win that card. They're the best, you know. Well, not always the best, but they're out of the three, they're the best person that did a good job.
We should
impersonate.
We should do that, like on the show, because it sounds like a good Audible game. Mm-hmm. But we should do a twist. You know what I mean? Like utter nonsense, but we should do a twist to it.
With hot sauce.
Or hot chips.
Yeah.
With twerking.
Yes.
And a turkey.
In fact,
costume.
I think we can merge the two with Twerksgiving and Utter Nonsense.
Yeah.
Miss Big Tex will be host.
Yeah.
And
well, we can just have the girls that we get make sounds with their WAP.
And that's a good idea. Yeah. Say this phrase with your WAP.
But in a nerdy way.
But a nerd, yeah. Oh no, that was too British. Too British. You know, I'll tell you one show that, before we leave, one show that I am really enjoying, except for one thing, and it's The Boys. The Boys is a fantastic show. I love The Boys. I've loved season one. I didn't know it was based on a comic book series or whatever until after it became a big, thing. But season two just came out a few weeks ago, and I think we're like 5 or 6 episodes deep, and it's great. The only problem is they're dropping them one every week.
Oh.
And... the first season came out all at the same time. You could just binge it. And I feel like it makes more of an impact if you watch it all at the same time because you're used to that. If you're waiting it out every week, especially in this day and age where you got 50 other shows you're watching. So I don't remember even what we talked about. You could do a little preview, but I'm not emotionally connected to it. And the producers say, we're doing it this way because we want the events. There's some big events that happen. And we want them to kind of space out. That way people have time to kind of
get on social media and talk about it. That's what they want.
Yeah, and spoil it all.
No.
Or to soak it in. And first off, there's not really been that many big moments. It's been one and we're almost done with the season. So I don't know why we're waiting so long. I think you should just been honest and said, hey, listen, we're a little behind on editing because of COVID. So we're going to piece them out one by one. So that way you're still getting it and just, whatever. I don't think you should make up this whole BS about...
Mm-hmm.
Because some shows do well spaced out, sure, I think.
Right.
But this show, in my opinion, doesn't do well spaced out. I want to be... I'm so disconnected from last week. Halfway during the show, I'm starting to get reconnected, and then it's done. And I don't have any feeling of what I just watched.
I think that's a you problem.
No, I've heard that from other people, too, on that particular show.
I like it that way. That's like when you were talking about Watchmen. Watchmen was like that, and it was like a Sunday night show, I think. It was something to look forward to, after we were done, after we got our drink on or whatever, after the show, come home and watch some Watchmen.
And that, I think Watchmen would be a better show spaced out versus how I was doing it, watching it all at the same time, because it just felt like overload. Yeah. But The Boys, on the other end, The Boys isn't a deep show. It's about, superheroes. So, I mean, spacing out like this, I don't think works. I think binging it would be a better deal. And it's 8 episodes or whatever, you know what I mean? So it's a quick watch.
Yeah, you can do what I'm doing and not watch any of them until they're all out.
I'll get spoilers because I'll watch them on Twitter and stuff.
I'm used to that.
Did you see that so-and-so just died?
At the studio.
Didn't you have an adventure at a brewery? Brewery?
Yeah. Friday... I met up with a friend of mine, made some tacos, I was like, man, this is awesome.
At the house or somewhere else?
No, at the house. I was like, this is awesome, but would be better with beer. And like, we weren't too far from the Lakewood Brewery, so might as well. Like, looked it up. They're like, they have curbside. I'm like, perfect. Go get some beer. So drive out to the place. And we're driving down the street. I was like, man, there's a lot of cars around here. We finally get up on it, and there's a damn carnival going on there. Like, they had the Fletcher's food truck out there. They had a little mini Ferris wheel, like a dunk tank. This was just what I could see from the road. People everywhere, man. There had to be a couple hundred people there. But what was crazy was, like, half of the people just didn't give a f-. No masks. Everyone drinking together. The other half were, like, overprotected. Like, I saw one guy wearing a mask on his face, another one down over his chin, and the face shield. I was like, this dude knows what's up. Like, there was so many people, though. I was like, God, I would not even get out of the car.
I started to see the numbers crawl back up again because of people like that.
Well, then, last week, Abbott announced that he's opening up Texas, like, well, the restaurants and stuff at
75%.
Yeah.
Which is okay as long as people practice social distancing and stuff.
Oh, no, they're not.
They're not. So that's the problem.
I'm sorry, at 75%, you're pretty much 100%.
Yeah. I mean, most restaurants are at 75% at all time anyway, right?
How are you going to... I think it's harder to go around and sit there and be like, all right, this restaurant's at 75%. This one's more. This one's more. This one's more. Then they go to every restaurant and be able to evaluate 25%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Clark, what's...
And, I mean, the larger...
And I heard people going to birthday parties, hanging out with gay people where they, you know, the carriers of the coronavirus and they have groups of 16 and then they're mad when they're split up. It's a whole thing. It's becoming ridiculous.
Well, I went to a straight dinner birthday party.
Excuse me?
Yes.
Is nobody doing virtual birthdays anymore?
Wait, was the dinner straight or?
Everybody was straight but me and
Kirby. Oh, okay.
So, and
that's what I feel like every time I go to one of their things. I'm the only straight guy there.
And let me tell you, at least, you know, we wear masks before we sit down. These people did not wear any mask before they sat down.
Not a mask inside, right?
And they walk into the restaurant. We're wearing masks.
Yeah.
But what?
Ridiculous.
So, Clark, what's the whole deal behind having a max seating of 6 people? Like, I don't get it. It's like
I think what it is, and it discourages big groups to go out. I think that's why it's like that. So if you're like, hey, especially like there's a lot of places where if you got kind of a loungy type area like we do, it's very, very easy for groups of 12 to 15 to be like, hey, we'll just meet there. All right, cool. Very, very easy for that size of a table to, you know, eat and drink. So I think like the whole six max per table is just a rule. It's just kind of like a thing to where they can somewhat discourage larger groups going out because larger groups are harder to control. Larger groups are harder to rein in with rules.
Because all they did was like they put us in the same area and it was a big enough to fit all of us, but just spaced the tables apart 6 feet. That's all they did.
And see, and that's what all this has done is that it's invented just a... It's invented a lot of new rules that restaurants and the public are just going to kind of bend and skirt by so that they can still operate in a manner that is closely related to how it was before this even started. So if it's the whole idea, like you can't have 6 people at a table, well, we'll take a 12 top. We'll just put 6 here and 6 there. And we'll just make sure that there's a little gap in between.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
And that little gap really doesn't matter because you know what happens all the time? That 12 top, that 12 person party, there will be somebody that didn't know about the party. Mm-hmm. And so then they'll just automatically show up and then like there's 2 more people for this 12 person party. And guess what they do? They sit in between the tables and then so now instead of it being a 12 person party that has a safe distance between it, it becomes just a regular 14 person party. So, and Like I said, this is just a thing. We have it from the federal government says one thing, the state says one thing, then the county says one thing, then your city says another thing. And it's just like, dude, where I'm at, where I'm on the border of Denton and Tarrant County, we do Tarrant County
That's
rules
Eric said.
To benefit. We do Tarrant County rules to benefit us one way, and we do Denton County rules to benefit us another way. And you know what? Because we're where we're at, the county officials from Tarrant or Denton don't come to our restaurant because we're kind of far away from either one of them. And until people like make a lot of reports, no health official is going to come by because, I mean, I'll be real with you. They're way busier doing other things, like making sure, you know, supplies are getting to frontline workers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, dude, I said it last week. This puts me in a weird position where I don't want to see the spread of the virus. But, I mean, honestly, I don't have money in my pocket if people don't take a calculated risk.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is winter's coming, and it's going to discourage a lot of people from going out because it's going to be cold.
Well, winter's coming, and a second wave of coronavirus is coming.
So. And the flu.
And the flu, yes.
Sorry, are you dying of the corona or the flu? Both.
No. Your flu virus actually got the coronavirus.
Oh, that's what happened. I got the flu that was infected, yeah.
Flu-rona.
Flu-rona.
And that's how the zombie virus starts.
Hashtag Flu-rona.
We're done.
You're first.
See you guys next week.
This is MZ Now, online at mznow.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MZNow.